fighting for freedom every day. Broadcasting from the heartland of America.
The next generation in conservative talk radio.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. Hey, what's up? Welcome into it. So great to have you along for the ride today. It's a Friday, greatest day of the entire week. Pat yourself on the back, man. You made it. The light at the end of the tunnel's finally here, and we realized it wasn't a train hitting us square in the face, and we can enjoy that as much as we can. So great to have you along for the ride. This is the Voice of Reason. I am Andy Hoosier, broadcasting out of the heart of the nation here in Wichita, Kansas, on our flagship radio station. We are all over the country, multiple radio stations and TV and live streaming, podcasting, however you watch or listen to the show.
Do it live!
We always appreciate you hanging out. Big show today lined up. And I have to admit, today, I can take a breath, a sigh of relief for just a moment, because today, probably one of the few days that we've had in a very long time that has not been inundated with ridiculous breaking news and crazy stories going on. We can actually take a breath for today. Now that, 2,300 students have been arrested on college campuses across the nation, and even here in Kansas, where they haven't gotten violent yet, but they are trying to make demands on college campuses. Our attorney general saying, yeah, that's not going to be okay, and saying that what they're doing is unconstitutional and illegal, and that they're going to crack down on some of those. So we'll see how it pans out, but at least now we can at least move on to the next thing, right? Which, of course, it's an election year, which means we're going to see the chaos and the craziness anyways. But that's all right. We can at least take somewhat of a breath without ridiculous breaking news going on today. Well, coming up on the show today, bottom of the hour, we have Ben Dieter. He is the morning show host of Wake Up Memphis. I'm in Wichita. He's in Memphis. Wake Up Memphis on the Mighty 990. As we've had him on the program before, great friend. Looking forward to chatting with him with some of the latest issues. Right now, I really want to pick his brain on this fascination with the quote-unquote catastrophic, not my words, the media's words, catastrophic numbers that are the number of students not applying for FAFSA and student loan relief going into the fall semester of 2024. And why there's such a paranoid fascination with the catastrophic numbers and why that's such a catastrophic thing in the first place. Because I find that kind of a sigh of relief and some good trends that are happening. But the federal government, man, the mainstream media, not liking that at all. So we'll touch on that. The student loan forgiveness, that's the latest push from the Biden administration trying to go after the young generation vote, which is where I want to focus on today with our latest and what's trending.
What's trending today?
And you know I like talking about the young generation because I am, I guess, I don't feel it anymore, but I guess I am on the lower end of the spectrum for the generations, being a millennial myself, and the generations behind me that are about ready to grow up and actually be the activists. They're the ones trying to take on the mantle, trying to, you know, become the latest and greatest fearless leaders in this nation. And what are they going to be doing? The generational differences I find always fascinating. Now, I grew up I'm a 90s kid. I was born in 88. I grew up in the mid to late 90s is what I really remember. It's growing up as a kid that really kind of set my foundation for me. And oh, how the times have changed just from the 90s to the 2020s, right? Oh, I mean, societal-wise, culturally-wise, what's allowed to be funny, what's not allowed to be funny. And I know you probably heard this interview that Jerry Seinfeld did on, I believe, a podcast somewhere talking about how what's funny and what's not in the comedy that's being ruined because of woke culture. But I tell you, the left-wing media, I was looking at a headline today, and of course this popped up from the Daily Beast. You can imagine how far left they are with the Daily Beast, responding to this article of Jerry Seinfeld and promoting his new movie that is now, according to the headlines, the worst made movie of the entire decade. Now remember, this is what Jerry Seinfeld said just days ago.
Nothing really affects comedy. People always need it. They need it so badly, and they don't get it. It used to be you would go home at the end of the day. Most people would go, oh, Cheers is on. Oh, MASH is on. Oh, Mary Tyler Moore is on. All in the Family's on. You just expected there'll be some funny stuff we can watch on TV tonight. Well, guess what? Where is it? This is the result of the extreme left and PC crap and people worrying so much about offending other people. Mm-hmm. When you write a script and it goes into four or five different hands, committees, groups, here's our thought about this joke, well, that's the end of your comedy. They move the gates, like in skiing.
Yeah.
culture, the gates are moving. Your job is to be agile and clever enough that wherever they put the gates, I'm going to make the gate.
So that's Jerry Seinfeld. And I have to be very clear that I've never been much of a fan of Jerry Seinfeld. Even back then in the day, I've never enjoyed the TV show Seinfeld. I never got into it. I was a Home Improvement kind of guy. I was an Everybody Loves Raymond kind of guy. I mean, that was my growing up and what I watched. I didn't watch Friends. I didn't watch Seinfeld. I stuck to more of the slapstick comedy. Tim Allen is probably one of the greatest comedians, I think, ever in my life. But I respected it, obviously, because there was obviously a demand for it. And it was a very popular TV show. Now, his new movie that he's promoting, apparently called Unfrosted, I don't know anything about it. But I have honestly no interest in watching it. But the reason I bring this up now, days later, is because there's an article out of the Daily Beast. And this shows right here the prime difference in generations where the new generations do not respect anything of previous generations whatsoever. It is their way or the highway. Everything else is garbage. We've evolved to this point now, and this is where we have to look through today's lens to look at everything in the past. And we know that because that's what progressives do. That's why we're judging, you know, the founders of the nation and saying, well, they're a bunch of racist, white, privileged, you know, landowners, bunch of jerks. How dare that we actually build a nation upon those guys? We need to tear apart our entire foundation and start all over. This has been an ongoing theme for the Democrats and for the progressives for a very long time. But according to the Daily Beast, the statement that was made by Jerry Seinfeld, they've called him, there it is, according to what they say, quote, boomer comedian blames extreme left and PC crap for not being able to make edgy jokes anymore. Now, of course, they have to throw the boomer thing in there. Now, again, I grew up in the 90s, but I highly respect the 80s. And I honestly wish I could have grown up more in the 80s and had some more fun at that time. I highly respect the 70s. The culture, the music, except for the whole disco thing. The music was pretty decent. It was starting. I mean, come on. I'm a metalhead. I'm a rock and roll guy. That was the time of the edgy rock and roll time when we started getting into Led Zeppelin and Black Sabbath. And, you know, some of that great music that really led to the rock and roll and metal that I get to enjoy today. That was the foundation of it. I highly respect that. Now, I think that some of the stuff's been overplayed. I'm going to listen to Rush for the 200th time today. I know I'm probably offending a lot of people with that statement, but it's okay. I get it. Like, that's what you grew up with. But I can see where it gets old at a time. So we do need to evolve. Doesn't mean that we disrespect the previous generations. What this generation's done, and I've said it many times on this show, that we no longer look to the older generations for wisdom and for their experiences and their life and learn what they did and get to take that with us. Like, and I always use the reference of Native Americans, where we sit around the campfire and tell the stories of our time to learn life lessons and do it in a somewhat entertaining way. That's what radio is supposed to be for. That's what writing and books are supposed to be for. That's what entertainment in general. You do it in an entertaining way. That's what comedy is supposed to be for. You learn a lesson. You question things a little bit, you think outside the box, and you do it in a way that makes you chuckle, and you put things together. You're like, huh, I never thought of it that way before. And that's what we try to do here on this program. But this young generation, man, these ones that like to call everybody the boomer, the ones that like to just do their own thing, it's our way or the highway, these progressives that are being arrested on college campuses day in and day out, it's ridiculous to watch them. But here's the surprising part, and I'm optimistic about moving forward because, as you know, I am the eternal optimist here, is that here's the question I pose to you. Are Democrats losing the young voter? Now, after all the headlines that we've seen in the media for the past, week or two, you would say, obviously not. Look at what's happening on college campuses. Democrats are obviously winning very vividly. However, there's really two groups of young voters, and they're not the mainstream Democrats right now. There are two sets of young voters right now. There are the radical extremists that we're seeing on college campuses that are mad even with the Democrat Party because the Democrat Party's not evolving or devolving to the level that they want to and swinging their pendulum further and further to the left at the level that they want it to be, where we would shun Israel, we would support Hamas, we would be supporting our terrorist organizations that call for the death to America, we would completely advocate for an immediate ceasefire with Israel. We would completely cut ties with them whatsoever, with the evil Zionists that's in the society, right? I know, that's what they try to tell. So then there's that sect of the college students, the young generation. Then there's the ones that look at all that and say, wow, you guys are really messed up. You guys have some serious loose screws in your brains, and we're not going to go down that direction. And in fact, they're going to the right side of the aisle. Now, if you remember the old adage is, if you're young and a Republican, you have no heart. If you're old and a Democrat, you have no brain. Remember that? I've heard that multiple times when I first got into politics. We're seeing the younger generations now that are, honestly, if you're not a radical, super crazy left-wing extremist like the AOC types that we know of and love to make fun of oh so much.
I am told this is a garbage disposal.
Then you're on the other side of the aisle that realize the Democrat Party has no platform, they're shattering, and that we actually believe in a lot of the issues that Republicans are promoting. And in fact, that's what the polls show, as according to TheHill.com. They say the latest CNN poll shows that Donald Trump is up over Joe Biden by 11 points in the young generation. Let me repeat that. Donald Trump is up over Joe Biden with the young voters by 11 points right now. Now, that I know. Poosh, mind blown. That shows two things. Number one, that shows how small of a group that it is for these radical extremist nut jobs that are causing havoc and the violence across the nation. Shows how little of them there actually are. Just because they scream really, really loud doesn't mean there's a lot of them and that they're being cast out. Or there's a decent amount of them, but they're not associating with Democrats because they're just as bad as Republicans are in their eyes. Then there's the other side where they actually are active and the majority of them are going to the Republican or at least libertarian conservative flavor, and Donald Trump's up in the polls. Now, the question is, the bigger question, and they even ask this, is that they say, according to many of these younger voters, that Joe Biden's not addressing the issues that matter most to the young voters. Wait, what? Not addressing the issues that the young voters actually want. What exactly do the young voters want? Because as far as I've seen in the last year, for example, I've seen Joe Biden advocate for student loan relief and student loan forgiveness. I thought that was related somewhat to the younger generation. He's obviously a major platform for the Democrat Party, has been very much so focused on the idea of social issues with the LGBTQ and Title IX and the transgender issue and transgender hormone therapy and surgeries and acceptance and so on and so forth. All the social issues that we're told that the younger generation really, really, really wants to focus on. What did we just see as a headline for a couple of days ago? Marijuana. And declassifying it down from a Schedule 1 to a Schedule 3 drug that's going to be in tie with ketamine, recognizing that there are some medical purposes for marijuana and that we should start reevaluating what this drug actually does. These are all the issues that they say the younger generation wants. And in fact, they say even Republican voters, as young generation Republicans, want to focus more so on social issues than economic issues. Because they realize that that's the flavor of the day. The social issue on abortion and on the LGBTQ and on guns and on marijuana. That's what the young, including Republican young generation voters, that's what they want to discuss and talk on. And that's what the Biden administration and Democrats have laid their entire campaign on. Because they don't have economic successes that they can actually run on. So they focus on abortion. Republicans going to take away rights for women and put them back in the kitchen plopping out babies left and right. That's the scare tactic that they've used. We're going to go Title IX and focus on LGBTQ issues. We're going to take those guns away. We're going to bail out your student loans. All of the issues that they say young voters want, and yet they still can't win them over. Why? We'll do that when we come back for a Friday. Stay here.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. Welcome back into it. You can find us on our website. By the way, our newsletter coming out on Monday, the first Monday of the month. You can find it online, HoosierReason.com. And we had a lot of new subscribers over the past month compared to last month. Thank you, guys. That's awesome. Like, we had a lot more. I think one of the biggest months of growth that we've ever seen in the, 3 years that we've been doing a newsletter. So that's super awesome. Thank you, guys. Go to HoosierReason.com, H-O-O-S-E-R, Reason.com. Become the latest Hoosier-holic, and you'll get that newsletter at the beginning of every month, the first Monday of every month, with our latest blog and our information about the show, information about the Hoosier Media Network, other podcasts that we work with and do some cool stuff with, all of our great partners, affiliates, and so much more. Okay, so we have the young generation that is now apparently leaning more towards the right, seeing what Joe Biden's doing and saying, yeah, maybe I don't want a piece of that. Maybe Joe Biden just isn't going in the direction that we want to go, right? Right, Joe Biden? You feeling all right, buddy?
I want to be clear. I'm not going nuts.
Now, it very well could be just because they feel like, even though the media's not telling us this, and KJP and the White House aren't telling us this, but they recognize there's that spidey sense that's tingling in our brains that realize that something ain't right with Joe Biden and that he's not all there anymore, if you know what I mean. And most of us can sense that, even if the media tries to tell us it's totally fine, and KJP's like, yeah, that's great. Yeah, he functions every single day. He totally gives speeches after we jack him up on steroids. Like, I maybe that's it. I mean, maybe the young generation just doesn't want that. And when they look at all the differences, now, overall, we have to admit Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is probably the most relatable to the younger generation. I'm not saying anything against Donald Trump here, but he has been doing very well in the polls for the young generation. But when tied just between the two candidates of Donald Trump and Joe Biden, the younger generation overwhelmingly goes to Donald Trump, at least in the 11 points that we see in a poll from CNN, which I'm sure just bugs the crap out of them. And it's because of the issues that we've mentioned many times before, with the fact that we can't buy homes and the student loans are killing us and inflation's really high and we can't get any jobs and there's too many people in the work market that we can't actually compete with them properly. And there's this whole thing that just kind of set us up for failure that we've allowed with the previous generations. So they're not happy. But again, the Biden administration has touched on every social issue and every issue that's quote unquote important to young voters, which is marijuana and abortion and the LGBTQ thing and student loan forgiveness and whatever else that the young generation wants. So why is the Biden administration losing by 11 points against Donald Trump on the young voter? I have my theory, and you want to hear it? Here's the theory that I have for you. Theory of the day from Andy. Here's the theory is the fact that Donald Trump doesn't focus the entire time and attention on those issues. Because while they may be important, for example, the LGBTQ issue, when you try to go further into defining these things on what a boy is, what a girl is, well, we're not a doctor, so we can't technically define it. Well, we're accepting here, but at the same time, if we accept a transgender woman that used to be a guy that's now a girl, then we run into the whole feminist thing. When you go down the rabbit hole of trying to define all of these, you dig yourself further into a hole. You end up shooting yourself in the foot. You end up harming yourself worse than helping yourself. And the younger generations, while they may support those issues or think they're relatively important, they realize that they have to keep things at a surface level. What has Donald Trump said about those things? Nothing. He said absolutely nothing about them. You know what he says? He says that the LGBTQ community is going to love me because I'm not going to go after them. Period. End of story. Hey, that sounds great. Guess what? LGBTQ members continue to go for Donald Trump. I mean, not overwhelmingly. They're still majoritively on the Democrat side. But guess what? That's a statement. Boom. It's done. It's over. You don't have to spend an entire hour talking about how you feel about hormone therapy this and how I believe in this transgender thing over here and how this is not going to offend this group over here because I don't want to upset and rock the boat for this box of people over here. Like, you don't have to do that. It's very simple. Hey, I'm just going to leave you alone. Now let's talk about economics. Let's talk about foreign policy. Let's talk about the disasters of the southern border. And guess what? People are flocking to that. Because it's simple, it's easy, and that's how we're going to win these races. And Donald Trump's doing a great job on that.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. When Reason Meets Radio, this is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. So great to have you along for the ride. It's a Friday, man. Pat yourself on the back. You scream, I scream, we all scream for ice cream. The light is officially here. And no, it wasn't a train here to hit us in the face. It's just a weekend, which we get to enjoy. I was watching, by the way, a video on social media over the break, and I love it. I love when these locally elected officials, wherever it may be across the nation, they try to play the whole do you know who I am card when they get pulled over from law enforcement. I don't know where it was. This lady officer was pulled this guy over and he goes, I'm just going to talk to the chief of police. And okay, I'm just doing my job, sir. You know who I am. You're not going to have a job for long, because he was going like 60 in a 30 zone and he was texting and you know what? Hey, you know what? You can't pull that crap. I've actually seen it here in Wichita. Our former mayor, thank God he's gone, radical left-wing progressive nut. He got pulled over because he tried to cut in line for a community event he wasn't even supposed to be at. He cut in line and he got pulled over smoking a cigar. And then he pulled the same stuff. Do you know who I am? And oh, he called up the city manager and actually berated them for a law enforcement officer for pulling him over and getting him in trouble. And yeah, that didn't go over well, which is probably one of the reasons why he's not in office any longer. Fun stuff. It's a crazy world out there. Let's get into what's trending. What do you say?
Going live!
Oh, there we go. Let's try that.
What's trending today?
So I find this story fascinating about right now Donald Trump being up a little over 11 points over Joe Biden with the younger generation. And there's a question of why, when Joe Biden has literally gone down the litany test of every checkbox for the young generation. Social issues with abortion, LGBTQ issues, marijuana, student loan forgiveness, all of these things that we're told that are the most important priorities for the younger generations. And yet they continue to lose. And it may just be the simple fact because Joe Biden doesn't know what he's talking about and he can't remember his name half the time. But there's got to be a reason on why they're going towards Donald Trump, which is roughly around the same age. And is it because the Democrat ones are just so radical they don't want to associate with Democrats? Or is it because there's actually a larger population of those that see Donald Trump as a better candidate in this race? Talk about some of that and so much more. Really happy to have him back on the program. It's been a while since we've had him on. The award-winning morning radio host of the show Wake Up Memphis on the mighty 990 out of Memphis, Tennessee. Happy to have on here Mr. Ben Dieter. Ben, how are you, my friend?
I am well, Andy. How are you doing?
Hey, doing great. It's always good to chat with you. I had to bring you in on this conversation because it's fascinating. Both of us being of the younger generation, I think you're a little bit even younger than I am. But watching the trends of these voters, no matter what they do, Ben, they apparently just can't win them over. What's going on here?
We can't afford anything. That's the reality. I mean, I talk to my friends and we're all under 25. You can't afford groceries. It sucks. You can't afford to pay your rent. That blows. And I guess the only thing they have going for our generation is if you're one of the lucky Powerball winners of Joe Biden's student debt forgiveness programs. But that has never once penetrated my friend circle. And we're all waiting for that. So unless that actually comes through, because that's like a big deal, they're trying to show the younger people that they really care that you went to college, you racked up all of this student debt, and we're going to wave a magical wand, and boom, it's gone. That has not yet happened to any of my friends. So maybe that's why it's not being reflected.
Interesting. That is fascinating. There was a story I saw a couple weeks ago about the millennial generation, specifically my generation, that we're seeing the largest gap of wealth within a single generation in American history, where there's the super wealthy, very well done millennials, and then there are some that are struggling on the other end of the spectrum. But in a single generation, the largest wealth gap that we've ever seen in American history, largely because of maybe Bidenomics. Do you think that's contributing to what your generation maybe is looking at and be like, wow, this is kind of a messed up situation right now?
You know what's interesting about young voters? And if you jump on TikTok for 1 minute, Andy, are you a TikTok guy?
I am. I do enjoy TikTok.
Oh, wow. So same. I jump on there as well because I want to know what people are talking about. And these kids, and I say kids, you could throw in millennials as well, they're disgruntled with the entire political system.
Yeah.
That's why candidates like RFK Jr., Cornel West are appealing because they hate Democrats just as much as they hate Republicans. The narrative for years has been, well, they're pandering to these young voters. They're going to get to the ballot box and they're going to vote up and down those ballots for Democrats. That's not the case at all because they feel like they've been left behind by Washington, and that is Republicans and Democrats. So it's really interesting. You just have to connect with those young people for one moment and realize they're not beholden to an R or a D.
Yeah, that is very true. You're right. RFK is out of all three candidates, I have to say, and obviously I'm a Trump supporter, but looking at RFK, which I do like a lot of the things he does, that he is probably the most relatable to the young generation when he's out there on TikTok doing push-up challenges, going out to Muscle Beach and doing all these environmental things that are relatable. I mean, he knows how to connect with the young generation. And like you said, being upset with the two-party system, I get, and we've always heard that for a very long time, but there's probably more momentum for a bash the two-party system, go third party than there ever has been before, isn't there?
I think so. And the whole thing with the third party is delusional. You know, I hear that with my friends, and they're like, well, we're going to vote for someone else. And I think that is going to play in Trump's favor. I mean, how about you? Do you think when you look at the polling, for example, CNN came out with that big poll last weekend. Everybody was talking about it on Monday. Trump is up over Biden. I believe it was 5-6 points when RFK Jr. was included into the polling. That sent Trump up over 9 points.
Yeah.
So these disgruntled people that aren't pulling the trigger for Joe Biden, right? They're all calling him Genocide Joe right now. I think it's going to go in favor of President Trump, and I think that's a great thing for the country.
Yeah, I really do. I agree. I think it's going to pull more towards from Democrats. I think, honestly, it's going to be about a 60-40 ratio of polling for RFK from both sides of the aisle, but predominantly from Democrats. And in fact, I think they're starting to catch on to that. There was a piece from the Daily Beast today that said that RFK Jr. event was hosted by MAGA group with January 6th ties. So, of course, they're starting to recognize the devastation of what RFK could do here. Because he was a Democrat, he has a lot of environmental policy that I think is important to them, but I think he could be dangerous to conservatives when he talks about the weaponization of the CIA and the FBI with his history with his dad and with his uncle, and of course when with a stance on vaccines that I think is very popular for some conservatives too. So I am slightly worried, but overall I think you're right, he is going to pull more from the Democrat side.
Well, it's going to come down to a couple different swing states. And if you look at 2020 and even 2016, I mean, we're talking 10,000 votes, Andy. It's really going to be splitting hairs. So every vote does matter. And it's really going to be interesting. I think if Trump can just stay focused, you know, the one thing about these court appearances, I mean, he's in court Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. He's not on the campaign trail to make these. And let's face it, sometimes he gets in trouble with the gas. And so when he's going out to the bodega in Manhattan, when he's handing pizza boxes to those firemen in lower Manhattan, he's zoomed in. He seems laser focused. And I'm telling you right now, if he can just keep the message on the border, which is polling number two, the economy polling number one, he's going to win this thing. And I think if you throw in what's happening globally, if Joe Biden decides to welcome in all of these pro-Palestinian people, or excuse me, more the Palestinian, the Gazans, I think if they run with that narrative in the face of what we're facing already at the southern border, I don't see how Trump loses, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, that is very true. And imagine the irony here, Ben, is that in 2020, we had Donald Trump all over the place, campaigning every single day, multiple times a day, bringing in 20, 30,000 people at crowds. Joe Biden sat in his basement the entire time, and we never heard a word from him, and he won. This campaign, we're seeing Joe Biden massively on the campaign trail, and he's losing points while Donald Trump's stuck in a courtroom, and he continues to gain in the polls. Like, this is kind of irony to me.
I'm telling you, it is because they're struggling with their Trump coverage. Trump coverage is the best thing for legacy media, the conglomerates, the NBC, the ABC, the CNN. They love the Trump rallies because they could get their 22nd shots, and they could say, well, he said this about political violence, and he is a threat to democracy, and this guy is going to turn our country into a dictatorship. He's not on the campaign trail. He's locked up in court, in that cold courtroom. So their coverage is on this and what is looking like a martyr of sorts, or not a martyr, excuse me, a political prisoner.
Yeah.
And that is what is being flashed across the chyrons. And I think we're just dealing with a completely different election if you go back to 2020. It's just not the same. It's just totally different game with him being in these courtrooms, and we haven't even jumped into any of the other trials yet.
Yeah, that is right. Well, like you said, they're not giving him the opportunity to say something stupid that they can use on the news to go after him for. That was, like you said, that was the campaign then, was Donald Trump said this, Donald Trump said that, Donald Trump wants to round up Mexicans, Donald Trump wants to, you know, set, you know, deport people and throw them in prisons or whatever they want to say. They have to make up that stuff now because he doesn't have the opportunity to say the gaffe, to make a mistake and just go off the cuff, and they can use that and run it on the headline news that that night. He's tied up in court, not allowing him to do something like that. So that it's an entirely different scenario. We're talking with Ben Dieter with the Mighty 990 out of Memphis, Tennessee, award-winning host with Wake Up Memphis. Ben, we got to take a hard break here. Can you stick over another segment?
Always.
Awesome.
Of course.
I love it. I want to continue this. And I want to talk, you mentioned TikTok. I am a fan of TikTok. I got to get your thoughts on this push to try and ban it. Apparently, we have a year for them to either sell TikTok from ByteDance or to shut it down in the nation. Is that going to go well with these young generation individuals, along with obviously everything else, the economy and marijuana and the social issues? Where does that fall on the scale for actual content and being able to communicate with people on the interweb and the social media sites? We'll do some of that when we come back here. It's a Friday. It's the Voice of Reason. Interesting conversation. Where's the young generation going? The potential for the most conservative generation since World War II. Is that true? I guess time will tell. Lots more coming up.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Reason, common sense, rationale, it's what we do on the program. Trying to cram that 10 pounds of reason into that 5-pound bag. Trying to rebrand the millennial generation. One radio listener at a time, which is what we do in our multiple stations all over the place. Want to tell you about my friends over at Patriot Mobile right now. Using my promo code of Reason, R-E-A-S-O-N. You can get your free activation with offer code Reason. Go to patriotmobile.com/reason, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They also donate, by the way, a portion of their profits of every dollar to organizations that fight for our causes that we actually care about. We talk about woke companies. We can also talk about big woke cellular companies as well. If you have your cell phone, you can still use any of the services. They use the same towers, but you can actually support a company that supports the same values that you do. PatriotMobile.com/reason. PatriotMobile.com/reason. Get your free activation. Also, if you're a veteran, if you're a first responder, if you have a large family, if you have all these great perks, and they also give you discounts for those as well. Go and check them out. You can also find it more on our website at HoosierReason.com. Talking with Ben Dieter here, the Mighty 990 KWAM out of Memphis, Tennessee with Wake Up Memphis. We're talking about the young generation and what the young generation priorities are. And obviously content, I think privacy is starting to become a big issue now, maybe, hopefully. And then we're starting to focus on this again. But TikTok seems to be the front and center in the crosshairs right now to try and cancel that out of the nation. Ben, you use Patreon. Now, I don't use it to post a whole lot, but I love watching the content. And I got to be honest, most of my content on TikTok is metal bands, rock and roll metal bands, and comedy stuff, and that's about what I have on mine. But the fact that they want to get rid of it just because it's owned by China seems a little weird to me, when all the data that we're collecting here in the United States from our own government, isn't it?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I mean, we allowed a big old white balloon to traverse the country for a couple of days. I'm not buying it. Yeah, and also, you've got all of these farmlands that are being bought up by China as well. And I guess what they're saying is they're using this app, the CCP, to control the minds of young Americans. Look at Instagram. Look at Facebook. You don't think Mark Zuckerberg is doing the same thing? So what do? What, we sell it? Okay, we sell it to an American tech company or a social media company, and that's going to all of a sudden reverse what's happened on TikTok. I just don't see a scenario where it gets into the hands of a U.S. company and voila, it's now fair and balanced like a Fox News channel. Just yeah. Not buying that.
It doesn't make any sense. I don't know if you've heard the term Google came out with, and they're focusing on the elections in the European Union right now. They're calling it now pre-bunking, where they're actually screening content that's being posted online and censoring it to try and weed out the fake news before you see it, as opposed to trying to debunk it after it's out there and trying to come back. They're doing what they call pre-bunking by censoring content, filtering content, and then deciding what's going to be allowed to post on the Google searches or not, because they want to make sure that they keep a fair and balanced election in the European Union. I can only imagine what that's going to look like here in the United States this year as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still in Facebook jail. I was on a jog in Memphis, and I looked to my left, and I realized, oh my gosh, one of the biggest bridges in America, the I-40 bridge that really connects the South to the rest of the country, was being commandeered by pro-Hamas demonstrators, and I ran after them. And I took a ton of content, posted it on Instagram, on Facebook, and guess who put me in Facebook jail? It wasn't TikTok. It was actually Facebook. So, yeah, I'm with you on this. It's
crazy.
Interesting because you're looking at this narrative coming from these places like TikTok. Like, people are just to the point where they're over conglomerates. They're over what is being pumped through legacy media. And I don't have a problem with that. I just really don't.
Do you think TikTok's going to stick around, or do you think this is actually going to be shut down by the end of the day?
Well, I think it will depend on who is elected. You have President Biden. He said that he would sign the foreign aid package, $95 billion, that included funding to Ukraine and Israel. And in that package, you talked about this on your show, it would ban TikTok. And he said, and he vowed that when that came across his desk, he was going to sign that. But only until really after the election. So we're still going to be on there because we've got to get our surrogates that we pay thousands of dollars to continue on TikTok to get Joe Biden reelected. I think at the end of the day, TikTok is going to stay around, if I'm a predicting person.
Well, 170 million users in the United States and 9 million businesses that are online just in the United States for that service, I think it's going to be a telltale sign that it's going to stick around. Ben Dieter from Wake Up Memphis in the great city of Memphis, Tennessee. Ben, it's always good to talk to you, my friend. Keep up the fight. Let's do it again real soon.
All right. Come on the show soon.
Hey, absolutely. Anytime, my friend. Good stuff. That's Ben Dieter with Mighty 990. We'll do it again on Monday. Until then, be your own voice of reason. Be that catalyst for change. We'll see you on the radio. Bye.